Well, we are currently in the middle of an exploration for the new things that we now have in Christ Jesus. New things, that's the title of the sermon series that God has us in right now. God's Word says this, and this has been a theme verse and reality during and throughout this series. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, key, in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. We also read in God's Word in Revelation 21, 5, God reminding us and saying that, I am making everything new, God says. Look, in Christ, He has made everything new in us. He is making everything new day by day, and He will make all things new. God's that big. He's that good. So let's continue our exploration for new things. I asked this last week. I wondered, has everybody got their spiritual hiking boots on, ready for a little exploration time in God's Word? You ready? You ready? All right. So we've already covered two new things that born-again believers have in Christ Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we launched with the reality that we have new thinking in Christ. We can think differently now. We can think God's way. Before, we couldn't think God's way. God's ways didn't make sense. But because of Christ in us, we have this new thinking now where we can embrace God's way of thinking, and it changes everything. Last week, we were reminded and encouraged and excited about the reality that we now have a new spirit. That in Christ Jesus, we can ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, to baptize us, and give us a whole new spirit. What a gift. That's a new thing that you have in Christ Jesus. Embrace it. Live it. Enjoy it. This morning, we're going to uncover a third new thing. New freedom. That's the title of today's message. New freedom. Turn your attention to the screen. Let's watch this video.
I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men.
Free men you are.
What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Right? Against that? No! We will run!
And we will live.
Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live.
At least a while.
And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The desire for freedom. It's one of the strongest desires of the human soul. Over the centuries, mankind has given life and fortune for freedom. Freedom was the desire of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt. Freedom was the desire of the Babylonian captives. Freedom was the desire of a group of Christian pilgrims that left their homes, their homeland, and traveled across an ocean in order to have freedom in worship, freedom in following the Lord. Freedom was the desire of our founding fathers, as evidenced in the Declaration of Independence that reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator." Separation of church and state. What? Creator, capital C, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, that's freedom. Life and freedom and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom was the desire of the black slaves in American history. It was the desire of Martin Luther King Jr. as he cried out from the Capitol. He said, I have a dream. And in his speech, and he's talking about the dream that he has, he says, I have a dream that there will be an oasis of freedom and justice. Freedom. Its desire is one of the strongest desires of the human soul. We're blessed to live in a country that has provided us with so much freedom, historic levels of freedom here in America in the 21st century. However, even in the midst of these generous political, social, and financial freedoms that we enjoy in America, we find that most people are living as slaves. The majority of people that you encounter as you're doing life, going to your job, going to the store, driving by on the road, walking around your neighborhood, walking by their homes, in classes, in school, most people are living as slaves, slaves to fear, slaves to busyness, slaves to pleasure, slaves to addiction, slaves to sin. And you think, how can this be? Why do people allow themselves to live in this way, day in and day out? The reason is because the only path to true freedom is Jesus. The only way to experience, to know, to live, to enjoy real freedom is Jesus. There's no other way. Nothing else will give you freedom. Nothing. And without Jesus, mankind will remain in bondage. Now, we're in an election season, and I encourage every one of us to vote. We must vote. I believe it's our duty. We have a gift in the free society that we live in. We have the ability to vote, to use our voice, our vote as a voice. And we can use that vote, and we must use that vote to promote righteousness. Whoever is going to bring more righteousness, vote for that person. I think I shared this before, but I just heard it recently, that until Jesus is on the ballot, every election is going to be choosing the lesser of two evils. Yet we still choose. We still choose. But the reality is this, politicians won't free us from the chains of slavery created by fear and sin. They won't, but still vote. More finances won't buy our freedom from the captivity of discontentment. We talked recently about Solomon. This is a man who had everything. He had so much gold, so many finances. I mean, he didn't know what to do with it. Yet, he lived in discontentment. More finances are not going to buy the freedom from discontentment. Religious activities, self-help, self-determination. I'm going to figure this all out. I'm just going to keep doing all of these things, checking off the boxes or whatever. They're never going to bring freedom. They won't bring salvation. None of these things will. However, there is someone who does offer true freedom, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He offers true freedom, real freedom, not fake stuff. The world will offer the fake stuff. They'll try to sell you on the fake, on the substitute. But we know when we're free. Jesus offers the real deal. Jesus boldly declared this. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36. Jesus said, so if the Son sets you free. In other words, he's saying, look, if I, Jesus, the Son of God, if I set you free, you will be free indeed. What Jesus is doing is he's guaranteeing. How many guarantees are there in life? Not many. But Jesus is guaranteeing that if you put your life in him, if you are born again in him, that you will have freedom. You will be free. Don't pass that offer up. In Christ, we have new freedom for real. What is freedom? I like looking up definitions so we know what we're talking about. Freedom, what is it? Freedom is liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. Freedom means that we are unrestricted. Freedom means that we are not subject to the control or domination of another. Freedom means that we're not obstructed, not restricted, and not impeded. That's freedom. And we all desire freedom. From the time, you know, if you have kids, your child's born, the first thing they're looking for is freedom. Think about it. They want out of that. They're ready to move, you know. And I've got a 19-year-old who's going to be 20 in like a week and a half. Freedom, right? Freedom. We want our freedom. And so Jesus offers us freedom. He offers us liberation. Jesus offers us unrestricted and unobstructed access to God. That which we all desire, to really know our Creator, to have a relationship with the one who created us and loves us. Jesus offers us freedom to have that relationship, real relationship with God. Jesus offers us salvation. Jesus offers us peace and joy, new life. You see, in Christ, we are free. We are free. And I want to ask for a little interaction here because I want us to get this before we move forward. I don't want to just sit here and kind of take it in cerebrally. I want us to really understand it and to receive it. Receive this truth. So I'm going to say we are free. And I want to encourage you to, in faith and in confidence in what Christ has done for you, to repeat and say, we are free. Are you ready? We are free.
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 Do you know it? We are free.
We are free.
Do you believe it? We are free.
We are free.
Okay, we've established that truth. Thank you.
Amen.
We are free. But where does this freedom lead us? What does it take us into? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Hold on. New freedom leads to obedience. Oh, man, everybody's like, wait a minute. You did old switcheroo on me, Pastor. What do you mean obedience? I'm here to hear about freedom. Freedom. I want to do what I want to do. Let me go. Freedom. Where does it lead us? It leads us to obedience. There's a popular belief that freedom in Christ somehow relieves us from the duty of obedience. And a lot of people think of obedience as a duty. And they think, well, I can't wait to get free in Christ because then I don't have to worry about this obedience thing. And man, woo, I'm looking forward to that. But that is like completely 180 degree incorrect, wrong. It's unbiblical. You see, freedom in Christ actually leads us into the joy of obedience. That's what this new freedom gives us. The joy of obedience. Now hang with me. I believe you're going to get more and more excited. I might even hear a few amens here this morning. Look out.
Amen.
It says this in 1 Peter 2:16. We're encouraged, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. That's because obedience is good. Peter makes this statement because he understands, he knows, he's living it, the reality that obedience is good. It's not a cop-out to go back to the old and to let the old man be in control. It is the blessing of the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Obedience is this. Obedience is simply embracing God's ways. Sometimes we confuse obedience and we look down on it like it's some kind of negative thing. But let's simplify it. I'm a simple man. I like things simple. I want to bring it down to something we can all just grab hold of and understand. Obedience is simply embracing God's ways. Obedience is embracing the plans of God. Obedience is embracing the kingdom of God. That's obedience. With obedience comes God's results, because we're embracing His ways, His plans, so we get His results. With obedience comes God's blessings. With obedience comes God's outcome. And I don't know about you, but I've always experienced that God's outcome is always better than anything I can put together on my own. When I try to manage something in my own strength, in my own intellect, like I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, I can make this happen, I'm going to take this and solve this problem, man, it usually ends up not so good. I'd say talk to my wife, but don't talk to her about this one. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't work typically. But when I release it, And I use the freedom that I have now in Christ to come into agreement with God's plans, with the way God wants to do it. Look out! I mean, it's beyond whatever I could hope or imagine. It blows my mind because God is good. And that's a result of obedience. Because in the new life that we have in Christ, exercising the new freedom that we have in Christ, we have grabbed hold of God's ways in His plans. We've grabbed hold of that gift of obedience. You know, we couldn't obey before. We couldn't. We were enemies of God. We couldn't obey before. But we have new freedom now to obey and to enjoy God. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. This is going to give us a picture of what obedience looks like and what it leads to. Psalm 37, beginning of verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now that sounds like obedience, doesn't it? Trusting God and then doing good, what God has called us to do. Trust God and do good. And what happens when we live that way? It says that we will dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. I like that. You like that? Okay. Verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, at first glance, you think, what's that have to do with obedience? That is obedience. Delighting ourselves in God is obedience. Instead of delighting ourselves in the things of the world, in all the trash, in all of the ways of the world, in the kingdom of this world, we instead say, I'm done with that. There is no delight in that. My delight will be in the Lord. I will turn my delight, my everything, my all, my attention to Him. I will delight myself in the Lord. And God's Word says that when that happens, that He, God, will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because God is good. He's delightful. He is. So delight yourself. Find your delight, your everything in God. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Now that sounds like obedience. It is. But commit your way to God instead of all the other trappings of the world. All the other plans that you might have that you thought were cool, you know what I mean? But no, commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him that much. Commit your way to the Lord. And what happens here? Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. This is God's economy. This is how God works. And this is the freedom we have now to interact with God in this way. I want some of this stuff. I want my life to look like this. And so I will find my delight in the Lord. I will turn to Him. I will use my new freedom to run after Him, to embrace Him. I mean, I get this picture of a little kid just holding on to his daddy's leg like, you're not going anywhere without me. I'm going with you everywhere you go. You are my delight. You are my daddy. I'm not letting go. Where you go, I go. That's a picture of obedience. I want to go where God's going. I want to go where He's going. Additionally, we find this. In John 14, 15, we find that obedience is how we actually display our love for Jesus. Jesus told us, He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You'll follow me, is what He's saying. If you love me, you're going to follow me. You're going to come into agreement with the way I live, if you love me. If you love me, you're not going to walk the other direction. When I'm going north, you're not going to go south. When I'm going east, you're not going to go west. You're going to follow me. You're going to grab hold of my way of living. Jesus also says this. He continues in John 15, verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He's talking to His followers, His disciples. So have I loved you. Now remain in my love. This is the heart of God for you. He wants you to experience His love. And He wants you to live every moment of every day in the reality of His love. That's His heart. Jesus continues in verse 10. He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. In other words, if you go with me, if you run with me, if you come into agreement, you will remain in my love because you're going to be there. You're going to experience it. And you're going to remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. Remember what Jesus said. I only do what the Father tells me to do. So he remained in his Father's love and his presence and his blessing and glory all the days he walked on this earth because of that truth. And in verse 11, Jesus continues. He says, I have told you this. I've told you this whole thing about the blessing of obedience and following me and staying close to me. I've told you all about this and how it relates to you remaining in my love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Again, the heart of God. He wants you to know his love every moment of every day, and he wants you to be walking in the joy of the Lord every moment of every day. And that comes as we exercise our new freedom to obey him, our new freedom to walk in obedience, our new freedom to choose him and not another, to find our delight in the Lord. So obedience is good. Obedience brings joy. God-sized joy. That's what obedience brings. But on the contrary, there's this thing called sin. Sin. Sin, it's everything that's opposed or offensive to the Lord. That's sin. See, sin, on the other hand, messes us up big time. How many of you know that? Sin messes us up big time. Sin destroys lives. Sin destroys marriages. It destroys families. It even destroys nations. Sin is messy. It's destructive. Sin offends the Lord, and it's not our friend. Man, I've been messed up big time in my life. Over the years, as I've embraced sin, it's not good. It's not God's plan for me. It's not God's plan for you to be messed up or to be messed with. God's plan for you is to enjoy his love and his joy every moment of every day. That's his plan, even in the midst of the troubles of life, even in the midst of the difficulties, to know his love and to walk in his joy through it all. That's God's plan. That's his heart for you. And deep within us, we know this. We understand that sin messes us up big time. We know it, and we hate it when it happens. I mean, it tears us up inside. I believe you're probably a lot like me, that when you find yourself choosing sin, that you find yourself torn up inside. I mean, your spirit, your emotions, your soul, your mind, everything just starts to spin around and get in turmoil and all twisted up. It doesn't feel good. It messes us up. It robs us of that peace and that joy that we find in God, in Christ. It's because sin destroys. And we know that in our spirit when we engage in it. I remember back in the day, well, I still fight sin. We all do. But I remember back in the day when it was bad. I mean, I had some besetting sins that were truly messing me up. It was miserable. And I tried to fix it. I tried to manage it. I tried to beat it down in my own strength. And I failed. Oh, I might win for a week or two or three or four, whatever it might be. Maybe sometimes for a couple months. And I feel like, I won. I am Eric. I am strong. And then, boom! It would come back and I'd find myself just torn up inside and desperate and hurting. It was tormenting me. That's what happens with sin. But in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. We don't have to accept that as our future. We don't have to accept that. We are no longer slaves to sin. Jesus has provided a way out. Jesus has set us free from the power of sin. And this new freedom leads us to the blessing of obedience. It says in Romans 6:18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And so instead of being slaves to wrong living that destroys us, we've now become slaves to right living, God-kind, God-sized living that brings fullness and refreshing in our lives. That's the great exchange that happens in Christ Jesus when we surrender and say, I need you, take over, God. Take over. That's the big exchange. But again, being real, let's talk this through. New freedom doesn't mean that we won't be tempted. Come on, you know that. How many of you in Christ Jesus right now, you're believers, you're Christians, you've been walking with the Lord, yet you still get tempted. You still experience temptation. We all do, don't we? The devil doesn't give up simply because we came in the family of God. Often, that's when the devil ratchets it up. I mean, Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit comes down and hovers on him as a dove, sends him out into the desert for the final equipping before his earthly ministry. And what does the devil do? Well, I better not mess with him now. He's got his marching orders from God, from the Father, so I guess I'm all done. No, man, he goes after Jesus, the Son of God, the one who is without sin. He goes after Jesus and tempts him. Temptation happens in life, and it will continue to happen in life, and it may change over the years as you exercise your new freedom of obedience and choose God's ways instead of the other way, and you see the power of that temptation that maybe would overtake you in years past, now not becoming powerful, so the enemy kind of backs off that, maybe comes a different direction. But new freedom doesn't mean that we won't be tempted. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God says that no temptation has seized you, has come upon you, except what is common to man. Now, sometimes we feel like, man, the temptation I'm experiencing, nobody ever has experienced this. That's why I just can't say no. There's no way out. I mean, there was way out of those other ones, but this one, no, no, no. And God is saying, no, don't fall for that lie. Don't believe that lie. No temptation has come upon you, has seized you, except what's common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's good news, church. That's good news. And it goes on. But when you are tempted, He, God, will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. This is the love of God. This is the new freedom that we have now in Christ Jesus. Before, we couldn't. A temptation would come up against us, and it was like, we're probably toast. We're done. It's over. We can't say no. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But now in Christ, we have the powerful grace of Jesus Christ that is at work in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is right here with us. It's at our fingertips. It's available to us. And instead of just saying it's a foregone conclusion, I'm a goner. No, we can stand and say, okay, God, it's coming at me. What do I have? I'm turning to you, and God's word says that God is faithful, and He will give you what you need so that it will not crush you, and He will provide a way out. He'll show you the way out. New freedom. That's new freedom. Now, sometimes we still fall, and the enemy then wants to come at you and go, oh, you know 1 Corinthians 10:13, but you're not living it, and it's not happening in your life every single time, so I guess you're toast again. Don't believe that. That's, once again, a tactic of the enemy. The lie of the enemy. God says, no. Get back up. Remember David, the man after my heart. I love that man. And he made some big time mistakes. He did some things that were vile and evil. But when he woke up to that reality, instead of running from me, God says, David ran toward me, to me. He gave himself to me, and I restored him. And I got him back up on his feet. And he once again enjoyed me, lived for me, and glorified me. You know, though a righteous man be slain seven times, man, he gets up. He gets up. He doesn't give up. He does not let sin win. Because greater is he who is in us, Jesus Christ, than that sin that may pull us down for that moment. And we get up stronger and more determined to lean into the grace of God. To know who we are in Christ Jesus. We allow the Holy Spirit to teach us in that moment of what just happened. So we don't need to let it happen again. Temptation will still come, but God will give us the way out. That's the new freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So that we can enjoy a life of obedience, of honoring the Lord. This is good news. I hold on to these truths every single day. Because life can be hard. But we got all we need in Christ. So I want to go into the second part of this message. You know, we look at all this truth that we just were reminded of about the new freedom that we have, the power that we have, the grace of God that we have at work in us to be able to say no, to not be slaves anymore to this garbage. We don't have to accept that kind of life anymore. We love it. We say, awesome. But what about this? How do we receive this new freedom? I want it. I'm sold. How do I walk in? How do I grab it and walk in this right now? Well, our theme verse really for this whole series is 2 Corinthians 5:17. So the first thing we do is we remember that we're in Christ, and so we're a new creation. The second thing we do is we remind ourselves that Jesus has set us free. He has set me free, so I am truly free. This is where we start. How do we walk into this new freedom? How do we embrace it? Receiving freedom begins with knowing that we are free. It starts with knowing, with understanding that we're free. Freedom begins with new thinking. And we talked about new thinking, the importance of that, as we launched this series called New Things 2 weeks ago. And if you haven't heard that message, please go back and listen to the message about new things. God has a whole new way of thinking for us that will totally revolutionize your life. And one of the things this new thinking is going to bring is this new freedom. Because you're going to understand who you are. And that you truly are free. So walking in this new freedom begins with knowing it. It begins with that new thinking. We are no longer slaves. We are free. We have new freedom. Yet, even after accepting this new thinking and believing, we can still find ourselves captive, can't we? Bound up. I mean, we can know it, but then there's living it. There's knowing it and then living it. What do we do when we find ourselves still struggling with a sin? The temptation's coming and we're struggling with saying no. And we're falling into it. I want to go back to the Psalms, to Psalm 118, verse 5. The psalmist gives us some insight into this when he writes this. He says, in my anguish. Another version says, out of my distress, in my anguish and in my distress. Do you understand the intensity of those words? In my anguish and in my distress. Is that how you feel when sin comes on you, when sin takes over, when you don't stand strong? That's how I feel. I feel anguish and distress. And the psalmist says, in my anguish and distress, I cried to the Lord. I didn't run and hide. I didn't give up. I didn't lay down. In my anguish and distress, I cried to the Lord and He answered by setting me free. He didn't answer by beating me up, by sending me to my room. He didn't. He answered my cry in my anguish, in my pain. As I turned to Him, He answered my cry and He set me free. That's God. He's so good. That's why I want to find all my delight in Him. Because again, He's delightful. He's delightful. And so when we find ourselves bound up, when we find ourselves in a sin or one that's been committed, what do? We cry out to God. We ask for freedom. We talked about this last week. We have not because we ask not. I'm so tired of this coming on my life. I'm so tired of this controlling me. Well, have you cried out to God in your anguish and in your distress and asked Him to remove this burden, to allow you to receive the grace that's already yours? Cry out. Ask for freedom. Why do we ask God for freedom? Because He is the only one who will truly set us free. The only one. You can read some self-help book, waste of time. Cry out to God. He's your defender. He is the one and the only one who has already crushed that sin. His name and only His name, the name of Jesus, is greater than and above whatever that word that goes with that sin is. And so we cry out to the one who has already given us freedom. If you've been around a while, you know I love Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. This is what God does to us when we receive this new freedom and we walk in this new way of thinking, this obedience. As men and women who are filled with that new spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, it says that God's grace, His power that brings salvation, that same grace, that same power, same work that justified us when we came to Christ, also teaches us, instructs us, leads us into that place of being able to say no to temptation, no to the world, and to live a godly, upright life in this present age. That's new freedom that we have. God leads us into that new freedom. That's the grace and the love of God for His children. So I ask, is something enslaving you? Is there a besetting sin that is just keeps coming back? Is the busyness of life have you in bondage to all the little things, the temporal things that are happening? Is there a lie that you've been believing for years that just still has you bound up and is keeping you from enjoying the life of freedom in Christ? How about fear? Does fear have you captive? I want to give us an opportunity here this morning to cry out to Jesus and ask Him to set us free. We don't have to just think about it. We don't have to just know the truth. We're encouraged to walk in this truth. When we cry out to Jesus and ask Him to set us free, He will answer and set us free. In fact, He has already crushed sin, hasn't He? He's already done it. He's already secured our freedom. He did that on the cross, on Calvary. His death, His resurrection, it's ours. It is finished, Jesus said. In Christ, this new freedom, it's ours right now. And we can receive it right now. We can accept it and we can walk in it right now. I want to ask one of our elders, Don Shrine, to come up and grab a microphone. And I've asked Don to lead us in a responsive prayer. So I'd like for all of us to stand up for this. He's going to lead us in a responsive prayer and give us an opportunity right now to receive the new freedom that we have in Christ, to walk away from the old and walk into the new. Thank you, Don.
Are you all ready to cry out to God right now for more freedom? All right, well, I want you to repeat after me. Jesus, I desire to have total victory from all sin in my life. No longer to be held captive or live in compromise in any degree with immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, outbursts of anger, jealousy, filthy talk, strife, disputes, envying, drunkenness, unforgiveness, and sins such as these that do not bring honor to the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in me, I break all power of sin in my life. I fall out of agreement with it. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave me the power to be free from the bondage of sin. By your blood that you spilled on the cross at Calvary. And now, by faith in your mighty name, the name of Jesus, the name above all names, I declare that I am free. I am free. I am free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before you sit, I just want to encourage you. You can do that every day. If you see things coming on you, you see things that aren't God's plan for your life, every single day you can come out of agreement with those and you can speak the name of Jesus over your life in every area of your life. And He is faithful to hear your cry and to set you free because He loves you. He loves you. You may be seated. And so, thank you, Don. Receiving this new freedom begins with knowing that we have it. Then it continues with us asking for it. And when we find ourselves still wrestling with temptation, we go to God with it, don't we? We don't let the enemy beat us up. We go to God. We ask for relief, for freedom. However, as believers, we must also embrace and protect our freedom. We're called to embrace our freedom and protect our freedom. It says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. In other words, God wants us to embrace, to live out, and to enjoy this freedom. It's for freedom that He set us free. Not just so that we can think happy thoughts about it, but so that we can live it. We can walk in it. We can enjoy it. It's for freedom that we've been set free. And he continues, Paul says to the church, and he says, therefore, stand firm then. It's for freedom that you've been set free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In Christ, we've been given new freedom. It's ours. Yes and amen. However, we must daily choose to live in this freedom. Standing firm in the freedom that we have in Christ. Reminding ourselves of this new freedom that Christ has given us. Why? Because here is the reality. Some would say the nasty reality is the enemy wants to pull us back into slavery. Again, I said it earlier. He hasn't just backed off and said, oh, I guess it's all over. No, he's not. And in many ways, he's doubling down on us, but we don't need to worry about that because we're free. But the reality is the enemy does want to pull us back into slavery, back into agreement with the old. The enemy wants to put us back into bondage. And that reminds me of this statement.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Okay. Just when I thought I was out. Just when I thought I was free, man. Just when I thought that thing was over in my life, the enemy comes and wants to pull me right back into it. He comes back to that spot, that same thing that he used for so many years to hurt me, to destroy me, to kill me, to rob from me. He comes back. Just when we think we're out, he comes back. It says in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus continues, he says, but I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. The enemy has come and he keeps coming knocking to pull you back into the old, to put you back, you know, behind the bars of slavery, shackled with fear and shame and sin, all that garbage. But in Christ Jesus, we have been set free. It's done. We can say no. They keep pulling me back. No, I'm going to pull you back. No, I will never go back. I am free. I am free. Free to be who God created me to be. You are free to be who God created you to be. You are free to live for God, to enjoy God now and forever. You are free. Christ has bought your freedom. You are free. We can just say no. Just say no. Jesus has set us free, and we are free indeed. So we know it. We ask for it. We protect it. I want to remind us that freedom in Christ is true freedom. Until we understand and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will remain in bondage to sin, shackled up by many chains. And so this morning, I want to urge everyone in this room, you can just bow your heads even at this time, close your eyes. I want to urge everyone in this room to run to Jesus right now. To run to Jesus, to give your heart to Jesus today, to shake off those old chains, to walk in freedom. You were created by your Creator to know freedom and to walk in freedom and to enjoy freedom. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe this is your first time at this church. Maybe you haven't ever been to church before. Maybe you've been to church before, but you've been maybe running the other direction, not enjoying the freedom that you have in Christ, and you're ready to come back and walk in it today once again, anew and afresh. I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to say yes to new life, to say yes to new freedom now and forever. So if that's you, I want to invite you just to pray this after me. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I'm desperate. I don't want the old. I need something new. And I know I need you. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are my hope. Save me today. Forgive me of my past. Forgive me for my sins. I hate those sins. I come out of agreement with those sins. I come into agreement with you. Today you are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making all things new. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer this morning, you have just made the most important decision of your life, and you have just made that first step into an eternity of freedom in Christ Jesus. It's yours now. At the end of the service, you're going to have the opportunity to come up and share that decision that you made with others who are going to celebrate with you. But right now, I want to ask the whole church to stand up. This is our opportunity to respond to the truth that we're free, to raise our hands in freedom, our voices in freedom, our hearts in the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, the one who has set us free. At His name, every chain is broken. Every chain is broken. We are free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's sing that truth even right now.
See, there is power.